You know, I've told people before, and I've been up since 1 o'clock this morning, and got less than that the night before, so I've got about 2 hours sleep the last 2 days. And I used to tell people, that, how do you preach? I said, like a cheap lawnmower, full blast till I'm out of gas. Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm out of gas this morning, and I'm running on fumes, so, and my throat's about gone like Brother Zito. But God's good, amen? And I couldn't wait to get to church this morning. There was never any doubt about being here, you know. I wanted to be with the Lord and be faithful. It's important to be faithful. And God's good all the time, brother. There's no, you know, asterisk besides God is good. Oh, yeah, except for this, you know. It's not there. Daniel chapter 2, and I preached a message about this years ago in here. But as I, you know, God puts things on your hearts. And I love what Miss Zito said here last Sunday night when she was talking about memorizing the verses. And the reason you do that, like David said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. And you put those things in your heart, not to just memorize them, but to meditate and muse, and they become ammunition for you. And when you go through things in life, and like I've been through the last few days, and some of you have been through a lot worse, different things, you've been through this, but when you go through things like that, boy, I tell you, the Bible's precious. And those verses come up. You don't have time, and you don't feel like, and you can't run around and grab your Bible and start reading it. You just got to hold on what you got. And sometimes God puts those verses on your heart, and they'll pipe in. In Daniel chapter 2, and Daniel's over here with Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel's a eunuch over there, and he's a bad deal. He's over there. Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar's 606 took over Israel. I told you that in Sunday school, how that Israel wasn't a nation since 606 B.C. That took place in the book of Daniel. That's where that started. In Daniel 2:1, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, his sleep break from him. And the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers, the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. And that's pretty fair to ask, you know. And then the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream, or the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. That's pretty rough. But if you show the dream and the interpretation thereof, you shall receive me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, show the dream and the interpretation thereof. And of course, you know what happens. Verse 10, the Chaldeans answered before the king, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asketh any things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. They said, tell us the dream. He said, I'm not going to tell it to you. I don't know it. And so they can't tell it. Come down to verse 14. We'll pick up verse 13. The decree went out forth that all the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Couldn't answer the guy's dream, so they're going to kill them all. Then Daniel answered the council in wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hastily from the king? And then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. And Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God of heaven. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, by the way. And they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and seasons. He removeth kings, setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that have no understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness. And knoweth what is in the darkness, and the word of the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O Lord God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and hast made me known unto me not now what thy desire to thee, for thou knowest not made known unto the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and saith to him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto thee the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said unto him, I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. And Daniel answered and said, and the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Daniel answered and said to the presence of the king and said, there the secret which thou hast demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magician, the soothsayers make known unto the king. Verse 28 says, but there is a God in heaven. Amen. And that's what I want to preach about a little bit this morning on, but there is a God in heaven. Amen. And I'm going to ask Brother Zito to take us to the Lord in prayer. When I was getting ready this morning and things that started coming through my mind and I was thinking about the message, the other one I had, several things, and that verse just kept coming back to me, Miss Zito, kept coming back. But there is a God in heaven. Daniel chapter 2 just kept ringing in my ear and the things I've been going through and the doctors couldn't help. It seemed like the nurses couldn't help. Just like Daniel going out to Nebuchadnezzar, going to the Chaldeans and all the wise men. There's just times in life, brethren, that there's no help out there but God. And that's it. And the only thing you got to lean on sometimes is, but there is a God. My wife, some of you know, she'd been not feeling well last Friday, and my wife don't get sick. She's, as far as I know, since we've been married, she's never been sick. We don't get sick. I've been at a Baptist health system for 20 years, and I've never taken a sick day. I worked at UAB for 10 years before then. I never took a sick day. I didn't take a sick day in 30 years. Even when I've been sick, I work. My wife's that way. We hardly ever get sick. It's just something unknown to us. And last Friday, she called me about 11 o'clock this Friday and said, I'm just calling to let you know. She said, she's laughing. She said, I'm throwing up. I said, well, you know what's going on? You sick or anything? She said, I don't know. I'm just throwing up. I said, well, you want me to come home? She said, well, not right now. Let me see if I get feeling better. I've took some stuff. Maybe it'll help. At about 12:30 or 12, somewhere around there, she called me back and she said, you need to come home. She said, I'm really sick. And she didn't tell me nothing else. And I knew then. I said, told the guys, I just got up and said, I got to go. My wife's sick. And I walked in the door and my wife was as white. She's whiter than this. And she looked awful. She already had all her stuff packed, Miss Debbie, to go to the hospital. When I got in, she knew how sick she was. And she'd been discharging blood all over the place and throwing up constantly. And as soon as we got there, I said, let's go. We're going to the emergency room right now. She said, are we going to Princeton? I said, we hadn't got time to go to Princeton. We're going to St. Vincent's because my insurance is networked for Princeton. I told her, I said, we'll just figure that out later. We're going right down the road. We got to get help right now. And we went there to the emergency room, and I told some of you about it. We got there, and it's packed in there, you know, and they know how sick she is. I mean, as soon as she gets in there, some of them run into the police, grab her, and they put her in a wheelchair, grab her a wheelchair. I mean, she's white, and I mean, just bodily fluid coming out of her. And I mean, when they're pushing the wheelchair, there's a trail of blood coming behind her, and they're cleaning up behind her. And they put her in there, you know, they ask a few things, and the guy there through the emergency room, he told me, he said, it's going to be a little while. There's a lot more people here. I said, this is not a little while thing, guy. This is something we need to get done. He said, I don't have any control over this. I just do this. I said, well, I'm going to tell you, she's sick out there, real sick. And he said, well, I can only do what I can do. And my wife was out there, and she had to go to the bathroom again, throw up. And every time she's moving, there's a big, that wide of blood coming down right behind her. And people clean up behind her. And I went back to him. I said, listen, guy. I said, I don't know who I need to talk to or what's going on here, but I said, my wife's out there and she's going to die if you don't get her back here. I said, look at the blood coming out of her. And he said, I'll put her back next. I'll put her back next. Well, then he comes back out and he calls somebody else. And then somebody else. And I said, hey, let's get this. And then at that time, a bunch of nurses come running out there and take her, and they took her and did, they got on it. They knew how sick she was. And my wife was sick. I mean, she is at the point, really, where she could have died. I mean, she was saying, I'm going to pass out. I'm going to pass out. She, I said, don't pass out. Hang with me, honey. Hang with me. Hang with me. You know what I was thinking about? But there's a God. I knew the doctor was going to help. And I was alone. I didn't see a doctor for 5 hours. 5 hours before a doctor ever came by. And they were busy. They only had two in there. I understood it. They had an overdose, they told me. The nurses were great, man. They were, you wouldn't believe all the stuff they were cleaning up and all the things. I mean, immediately when they came in, they threw an IV in her and took her down and started doing CAT scans and x-rays. Couldn't find anything. Finally, when we did see the doctor, all of them kept asking me, has she been in a foreign country? I said, no, because they couldn't see anything. But you know what I kept thinking? But there is a God. But there is a God. That's why, you know, sometimes, Miss Jenna, Romans 8:28, it just won't work. Sometimes Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good to them that love God. Know that verse. I can't climb that mountain sometimes. Can't go up it. Can't get there. I know Philippians 4:13. I preached on it. And I know. And God, I know I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, but there's sometimes, Miss Liz, I can't open that door. There's sometimes all I've got, Brother David, and that was one of them to say, but there is a God in heaven. That's all you got. She kept saying, I'm going to pass out. She said, I'm so sick, I'm hurting, I'm going to pass out. And I kept saying, honey, hang in there. I'd get down there and wiggle her on my nose on hers and try to get her to laugh and something. That's how bad it was. I told Sarah and my little girl, she kept saying, Daddy, is Mama dying? Is Mama dying? I said, no, baby, she's not dying. We're okay. I told her one time, I said, Sarah, come over here, because I couldn't hardly get her to respond. I said, come over here, Sarah, and let's sing Jesus Loves Me to Mom. And Sarah don't hardly sing. And she was singing with me. We were singing there to my wife. Jesus loves me, this I know. And she's just... I asked her yesterday, I said, do you remember Sarah singing for you? She said, I don't remember any of that. You know, I can remember. But there is a God. That's all I had to hold on to. I've never been anything like that. I can tell you that was one of the worst times of my life to sit there with my wife. And I'm telling you, brother, I love that woman to death, man. That's a jewel God gave me. I told her 100 times how much I loved her when she was laying there. I kept saying, hang with me now, because I knew how sick she was. They said her kidneys had already started shutting down. When your body goes through something like that, and as she starts going through that, your body starts, the organs start shutting down is what happens. And her kidneys were already shutting down. They're still trying to work them back, get her kidneys going. You know all I could think of? There's a God in heaven. And I want to say this morning just a few things, and I'm going to be real brief. There's just some times, brethren, no matter how dark and deep the valley is, no matter how bad the pain is, no matter how hard the hurt is, sometimes a lot of those verses, and I preach them, and I was thinking about that this morning, about those great verses of Romans 8:28. And Miss Jenna, one of my favorite verses is 1 Peter 5:7. And we was praying that there in the emergency room, me and my wife. And I said, Lord, you said to cast all your care upon you, Lord. And we're giving you this one. I tell you, that was hard to grab hold of sometimes. Sometimes the best you can say is, but there is a God in heaven. Sometimes that's it. I want to say there's a God in heaven. This morning, just give you a couple of things. I'm going to be real brief. I don't have a whole lot of voice this morning. But I want to say there's a God in heaven when troubles surround you. And I'm going to tell you, brethren, some of you have been through a lot worse than what I've been through the last couple of days. And you know what I'm talking about. And you know just sometimes in your life, there's so much trouble. You can't find anything from the doctors. You can't even get anything from the nurse. And the only thing you've got to lean on is, but there is a God in heaven. I mean, the promises of the Word of God, they're hard to grab sometimes. They're hard to grab and claim, and I know those verses, but brother, sometimes they're just hard to grab hold of. But you know, God is there. And we kept praying, me and my wife praying, God, you know all about this, Lord. And Lord, you know what's going on here. The doctors don't know, but you know what's going on, Lord. And God, we need your magic. We need your help. We need you to touch us and show us. And I'm going to tell you, brother, once God got in that thing, within 30 or 45 minutes, once they started getting some IVs in, my wife began coming too, brother. And I'm going to tell you, God was in it. Lock, stock, and barrel, God was in it. God stepped in that situation. If you go up, Miss Annie May and Uncle Reuben came by yesterday. She looked pretty good, didn't she? If you'd have saw her a few hours before that, you wouldn't believe it was the same lady. How God reached in there and just flipped that thing around. Miss Zito asked me about calling her earlier. I said, anybody wants to, because she'd love to hear from you. She's doing good right now. They got to get that stuff out. But listen, if you'd have talked to her a few days ago, you couldn't have gotten anything out of her. She was so dehydrated, in fact. In fact, if you call her now, she can't talk real well. She was so dehydrated, no voice was coming out. Wouldn't come out of her mouth. But I'm going to say, but there is a God when the troubles surround us. And troubles are coming. They're coming to every one of us. I've had things, you know, happen here. Like I told you, me and my wife, we've hardly ever been sick our whole life, man. And I've had health problems here lately. I've been more to the doctor lately than I've been my whole life, I think. Trying to find out what's going on, you know. And the whole time, you know what I'm thinking about? That there's a God in heaven. God knows what's going on, folks. And as a child of God, when the troubles are there and things are around us, Brother David, and it doesn't seem like there's any way out of this thing, God is right there. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13 said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore I can boldly say, the Lord's my helper. I don't care what you go through this morning, how bad it might get. And sometimes it's going to get bad and the Lord tarries. We'll all go through things. Like Job over there in chapter 3, verse 25. I was thinking about that verse 2. That comes up a lot of times. He said, the thing what I greatly feared has come upon me. Your light wife's laying there, and some of you have been through things with your husbands, your wives, all kind of different. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? You're looking in that situation, and you're thinking, all I've got to hold on to right now is God. But I'm going to tell you, brethren, He's enough. He's enough. I've talked to people that have been through a lot of things. Diane Harrison, who's one of my best friends in the whole world, man. Brother Graham's wife. We was talking to Brother Graham. Some of you met him the other night there at Brother Eby's. And I love that lady like my sister. She is my sister. She's very, very precious to me. And Brother Graham was saying, every time somebody mentions your name, he said, she lights up, man. Me and her, we kind of got saved around the same time and got right. So we hung around each other. We were the only few single people in the church. We were both ex-hippies and coke addicts and everything else. We a lot alike in that way. So we became good friends in no time, witnessing for the Lord. And that lady, I've told you, she's been through 3 bouts of cancer. Brother Graham corrected me. She's been through 4 now. Brother Graham told me, she's had so much chemo and radiation, she's had to have open heart surgery because it's just cooked her heart. She's had several strokes. Brother Graham, I said, Brother Graham, I don't know anybody like your wife. I said, I don't know anybody like her. Every time I see her, Miss Janet knows her. Every time I see her, there's a smile and a glow about her. Amazing what God put on that lady. And yes, she's got that smile. You know what Brother Graham told me? He said, every time I see her, when I walk in the room, he said, you know what I do? He said, I just salute her. He said, what is it, preacher? But there is a God. See, the troubles might come. I've known people who've been through a lot of things and a lot of trouble. I think of our good friend, Brother Tillman, that comes in here and all the things he's been through. The death, the unconventional, unnecessary death of 2 of his daughters that quick like that. And his wife paralyzed and blind and all the things he's been through. And I'm going to tell you, he's got a shine and a glow about it. You say, how can he do it? Because there's a God in heaven's why he can do it. That's not humanly possible to be like that. Man, you look at the world, look at lost people, man, they can have everything. You look out there at Hollywood, I mean, oh, half those people been in, got a shrink, half of them had nervous breakdowns, half of them tried to commit suicide, half of them tried to do that, they got all these things, and there's nothing. You say, why? They don't have God in their lives. God makes a difference. But there's a God when troubles surround us, when they're all over us, and they're coming. I think of old Job. Well, anyway, he lost everything, lost his kids. I talked a little bit about that this morning. And his wife comes in there to him, tells him to curse God and die. Didn't even have a wife that was going to help him, Brother Zito. Lost his kids, his cattle, everything, his friends, all he had. All he had left was God. Said over in Job 19, have pity upon me, have pity on me, my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. Why do you persecute me as God? Are you not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that words were now written, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven in iron pen and lead in the rock forever. And his friends are all over him, his wife's all over him. And he said, can't you give me a little bit of pity? But he gets over there and Job 19:25, and he kind of changes. He said, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. You know what Job said? He said, yeah, I've lost it all. I've lost my friends. I've lost my wife, Brother Dodd. I've lost everything there is, but I want to tell you, my Redeemer liveth. End the discussion. Sometime, brethren, that's all you got. That's all Job had at that time. I want to tell you, but there's a God when troubles surround us. I could give you a lot more. I want to say there's a God when turmoil pounds us. Things that happen to your life, man, that you just can't get out of sometimes. You know what? I mean, the cares of this life, they wear me out. How many wore out with this world? Raise your hand. Raise both hands. Amen. Double wore out. I am wore out, man. Just driving to church is a wear out to me nowadays. Man, I mean, everything just pickles you in the turmoil of the world. I mean, the politics amuse me. I've got where I just turned. My wife had Trump on the other day in the hospital. I said, please get that guy off there. Please get that guy off there. I don't want to watch that. Turn it on something else. I'm tired of all that junk, man. I'm tired of everybody throwing that stuff in the air. I'm sick and tired of it. You say, why? He just keeps, I saw on the internet the other day, they said, oh my goodness, Donald Trump took a phone call from Taiwan. Well, what'd they do? They're making a big deal out. What's the big deal? I don't get it, man. I don't get it. Took a phone call from the lady who's the president of Taiwan. They said, well, China don't like it. No president since 1979 has taken a phone call from Taiwan. Hey, man, you know what they'll do? They'll drive you cuckoo. You let, oh, my goodness, preacher. Jeff, look at him sweating over there. Oh, Donald Trump took a phone call from Taiwan. Oh, we better take up a collection and send it to them. Amen. You know what the world will do in turmoil? It'll just take and pound you and pound you and pound you and pound you in the ground that you're cuckoo and cockeyed as they are after a while. That's right. It's amazing. You know what you can always do, Brother David? You can always just go over there to Daniel chapter 2, verse 29. When all that comes on, no matter what, just say, but there is a God. End of discussion. End of discussion. But there is a God when trouble and turmoil just pounds you and pounds you and pounds you. One of my favorite chapters in the Bible is over 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Over there with David. Remember that? Ziglag. Woo! I got a message I preach. You ever been to Ziglag? The word Ziglag is interesting. It means pressure. Pressure. You haven't been to pressure. You haven't been down there. Old David's over there fighting. He's fighting for the wrong king, by the way. You know that over there. He got out of the will of God. One reason why that happened. If you study your Bible right before that, he's fighting for the wrong group. Done switch sides. Got mad at the Lord, you know, a little bit. And he's over there and he's fighting. And all of a sudden, they come over there and Ziglag. And they get his wife and his children. And the Bible said David and his men came back to the city where they were at. It was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Can you imagine, Brother Brian? Miss Terry, you go home, you go out to fight, you come back, and these heathen done took her. And let me tell you, they didn't take her to have revival. They're not sitting around singing Kumbaya. That's some bad boys that got them. And you pretty much know what's in your mind, what's going on over there with my wife and my kids. And that's why those men are over there. I mean, these were grown men, these were soldiers, and were weeping and crying out because they had no more power to weep. Said they come to David. And the Bible said, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. You ever been to Ziklag? When turmoil pounds and pounds and pounds. Oh, David was in a mess. But I love what he said a little bit later. He said, but David went to the president. Said, can I get some of that Obamacare? We was talking to nurses last night, came in. About 3 o'clock in the morning, by the way. They come in every 3 hours to see if you're resting. Wake you up. Are you asleep? You resting okay? After 1 o'clock, that was it for me. I slept from 11 to about 1. That was it. And they kept coming in. But this one black nurse, she tickled me. And my wife was telling her, she said, we don't know what we're going to do. She said, we're out of network. We're supposed to be at Princeton, but we couldn't make it. And the nurse was saying, I hate that Obamacare. She said, I hate that Obamacare. She said, I hope that Mr. Trump would do something about that Obamacare. She said, that has just messed up everything around here. I thought, well, glory to God, she got some sense, maybe. But I'm going to tell you, it just wears you and wears you and wears you. Turmoil of pounds and pounds and pounds you like it did David and Ziklag. But I love what David said. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. His God. Greatest thing in that verse, Miss Jana, is that last two words. I preached about that before. His God. See, you can't, if you don't know God, you're not in fellowship with God. You go to Ziklag, I got news for you. You won't be encouraging yourself in your God. You'll be cursing and swearing and jumping and everything else. But old David reached, he knew God. And he encouraged himself in the Lord. He is God. And when you know God, you can do that. I want to say, but there is a God when turmoil pounds us, trouble surrounds us. I want to say when the tears drown us. When the tears drown us. There's a God. Psalm chapter 6, verse 6. David's over there and praying. He's been... Psalm 6:6 is there because of Bathsheba and what David went through. When you read the book of Psalms, you need to read the little headlines in front because that's written. That's not something the editors put in. That's what the writer of Psalms wrote. Psalms chapter 6:6 says, David's writing. He said, I'm weary with groaning. He said, all the night I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. You know, when you read the Bible, sometimes you read about David. I just got through reading the Kings and Chronicles and Samuel's over there about David. And you read David, you don't get the picture of David like you do when you go to Psalms. You want to read about David, I'm going to tell you, get Spurgeon's book called The Treasury of Psalms. You want to read about David, get over there and get Pink's book about the treasury of David. Because when you want to find out about David, you'll find out when you get there, you pick up the book of Psalms, and it tells you about the man. Psalm chapter 6, after old David and Nathan and his boy, first child that was born, David's going through all that stuff, and he said, man, I make my bed to swim. He said, I'm crying so much right now, man, I'm laying in tears down there. And through it all, you know what David found out? But there is a God. When the tears drown us, when the turmoil pounds us, when the trouble surrounds us, I got news for you, friend. But there is a God. I've known a lot of people go through things, and through things like Miss Diane that I never dreamed. People could survive like they do. Brother Vincent, be here tonight. Y'all heard his testimony. That old boy got saved, Brother David. I don't know you was here. He got saved. His family was high in the Muslim faith. His father was an imam in Muslim. That's like the top of the line. That's like the president. He's talking about his family was wealthy because the Muslims took care of him. And brother Vincent, before he got saved, he was a mullah in Islam faith. That's like a pastor. When he got saved, he showed that scar where his sister bit a chunk out of his arm. He said she's big. Remember that? Threw him on the ground, stepping on him. Then they chained him up and threw him in an animal preserve, hoping the animals would eat him. Brother, you're talking about turmoil surrounding you. You're talking about trouble surrounding you and turmoils pounding you and all those things some of these guys have went through, and yet you hear this guy get up here and preach and got a glow about him and a smile about it. You know, the thing I like about Brother Vincent, I like that excitement that he had. Didn't you, Brother Jeff? I like it when they get up there and you can tell they're excited to be saved and they're excited to serve God. That's what I'm looking for, amen. When I heard that, I said, yep, that's what I'm looking for right there. That's the kind of missionary I like to see. I like to see Brother Tommy come in the door and those teeth shining, that little old man walking around with a glow about him, brother. He's excited about serving God. I like to see Brother Odell get up here and talk about those two or three people he's got over there in the hood. He don't have but a two or three people a lot of time, Brother David, and yet there's an excitement and a glow about him. That's what I like to see. Excited about God. It don't matter how many he got, how big it is. I have preached to one person many times. I've preached before, and there's one person sitting there. The guy's name was Tom Searcy. He goes to Glory Land. Church I had in Center Point. Tom recorded every single message. He's a genius with electronics. He had a computer we had it on the wall. It was a tape recorder, but he had it rigged up on the wall there, and he'd pick up around the thing, and he recorded every message and copied them, Brother Brian, and he sent them out to missionaries, people, mailed them out. And this one girl, Sonia, that he dated one time, I'll never forget this, and he'd send her copies, and she'd play it in the office, and she'd tell him, you're not going to believe this, but he is preaching to one person. That's all that's out there. Because I'm screaming and yelling and turning flips and running around. I was a lot more mobile back then, Brother David. You know, you heard me back in those days than I am now. You say, what is it? There's a passion. You say, why? There's a God in heaven. But there's a God in heaven when the turmoils, the troubles, when the temptations hound us. I mean, we get hounded by the world and it hounds us and tries to take us down and tries to get us out of church, tries to get us out of the will of God. I mean, those things never stop. They're like a hound dog just searching us. I used to have a track, Brother David, I hadn't seen in years. But on the front of it, it said the world's greatest detective. And you open it up and there's a big word, sin. Numbers 23, it quotes, be sure your sin will find you out. You know what temptations do? They'll hound you. They'll keep you and drive you down and keep you halfway neurotic and anorexic out there trying to serve God, so much coming on you. I mean, go out in the world, man, it's just everywhere you look. I mean, you watch a football game, Brother Ben, they got naked women on commercials. I mean, good night, can't you watch a football game without seeing a bunch of beer commercials? I was watching Doug Dynas the other night, and they were showing whiskey commercials in the beginning. I said, good night, man. They got to do that during Doug Dynasty to sell liquor. I mean, you can't even try to walk something anymore. You're just tempted. Hounds you all over the place. Me and my wife, we've talked before about little kids coming up nowadays, as bad it was. I mean, all the temptations and all the stuff they're tempted with and the internet and all these TVs. I mean, the magazines and the advertisements you get in the newspaper now is pornographic. Well, we used to have when we were kids, you know it. I mean, that was worse than Playboy, some of the things we looked at back then. I mean, the temptations are hound you and hound you and hound you. But there's a God in heaven. There's a way. Remember that verse we looked over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10? Verse 13. Remember that verse? That's one of my favorite verses. But there hath no temptation taken you. Because sometimes I just don't feel that way, Miss Karen. Sometimes, David, you get tempted, preacher, about once every second or two. I mean, I'm tempted just like you. I got the same filthy, carnal flesh like you. It didn't get saved. It still wants to rebel against God. And the temptations hound me just like they do you. No difference. Just like he did Paul. He's over there, no temptation taking you but such as common to man. I like that right there. Right there, Brother Zito, that's enough for me. That lets me know all the things that I go through, Miss Liz, and all the problems I have to go through, and all the things I go through, Brother Jeff, and all the things that I worry about, think about. He went through it. Paul went through it. David's probably going through it. I bet Brother Zito, Brother Jeff, they're going through that too. I'm not alone. You've heard that thing, misery loveth company, you know, kind of thing. It's nice to know you're not alone sometimes in this stuff, isn't it? But no temptation taking you, but it's common in man. But, God is faithful. You say, what do you do when the temptations hound you, preacher? I want to say there's a God in heaven, but God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But where with the temptation? I love this. He'll make a way, Miss Carol. Doesn't say it provided, doesn't he? He'll knock a hole in that door. You know, I gave you the illustration about that fellow went to the snake handling church. We need to go to one of those one of these days, Brother Jeff. You read that book, didn't you? We need to go to one of those. I thought about Brother John bringing a snake out here one day and passing around and see who's got faith. I mean, I bet if I brought a little green snake out here, we'd find out who had faith too, wouldn't we? But you know, I heard about that guy, you know, he went to that snake handling church. He didn't realize he was visiting churches. There's a lot of them up there by Brother Bob, Sand Mountain, Pine Mountain, all those. That's where they're at, you know. And it's not against the law, some of that stuff, you know. It's against the law to get bit. But you can play around with that stuff, you know. And they used to have a show on there, you know, on TV. And I just read that book. What's the name of it? Salvation on Sand Mountain. That's the name of it. Did you read it, Miss Debbie? That was good. These people are so wicked. They're all committing adultery and drinking and smoking and all that. And then they're talking about having faith, the Holy Ghost picking up snakes. Bless God, I think if I'd start doing that, I'd really get right with God, wouldn't you? I'd cut out all that junk real quick, man, before I started doing it. But I heard about that guy, you know, he was visiting a place, Brother Ben. He was looking for a church to go to, and he showed up one, and they were handling those snakes. And they pass them around, what they do, you know. He's passing around some of them snakes. And it kept getting to him. He looked at the guy next to him. He said, where's the back door at? Guy said, we don't have a back door. He said, where do you want one? I mean, sometimes the temptation, Brother Ben, you just got to say, where do we want to make a back door, Lord? Because I'm heading right there at that time. But there is a God when the temptations hound you. There's a God when the trouble surrounds you. There's a God when the turmoil pounds you. I'll just give you one more thing. One more. But there's a God when the troubles, when the times confound you. And brother, that's where we're at today. This world's gone crazy, man. It's a madhouse. Well, I say it's absolutely nuts. You know, every day, and I give you a lot of new stuff. I didn't have time this week to get up anything, but I like to give you that stuff, let you know, man, they're just cuckoo. And try to keep your head above water, so to speak. But you know, it's so confusing, so confounding out there. I don't watch a whole lot of news, to be honest with you. I watch the local news, see the weather, and maybe the sports, and see what's going on. And sometimes I flip on Fox over there, the 5:30 or 6:30, one of the little talks they have to listen to them, how crazy they are. Then I flip it on or off to some. I flip it to Alaskan Frontier, or usually just flip it off and go downstairs. I don't watch it. I used to. I'd glued like some of you. I mean, I'd get in that thing, man. I mean, O'Reilly'd come in. I'd get on there and old Carl Rove and everything, Brother Jeff. I mean, it's just like an Alabama football game, Brother Ben. I'd be getting in that thing. Come on, boy. Come on, let's get that thing going. After a while, about 2 days of that, I said, Brother David, they're crazy. Them people are cuckoo, man. I got to get back to my Bible. I might be as cuckoo as they are one of these days, man. I might be cuckoo, but I'm on the right clock, amen. I might be a nut, but I'm hanging right off the right tree, amen. Don't bother me. You know what? When this old world and everything confounds you and the times confound you, Miss Carol, we got that ace in the hole. We reached it back here. Like when you go pay for something. I noticed Brother Zito, he's like me. He's a debit card, credit card man, aren't you? Nope, you pay cash. Well, I was with you the other day, you used a debit card. Boy, when I go up there, I just flick my bick. They said, that'll be so much. You don't have to worry about it. Here you go. Take this. Lay it on that. You know, that's the way it is with whatever you go through with the Lord.
where there's troubles, turmoil, where there's times confusing, where you're just getting beat around, you can always reach back there and get that old credit card God gave you in Daniel chapter 2, verse 29, and say, okay, here you go. But there is a God. That'll settle it right there. That's when I go through the line, wherever I'm at, Walmart, whether it's $250 or $4.10. I don't have any cash. Y'all been with me before. Y'all know. Y'all, anybody that's been with me, I ain't got a nickel in my pocket, man. I got a couple of dollars in my back in my billfold right now because my kids have moved out. I didn't have that when they were there. They raided that thing. There's no point carrying a billfold when I had them. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? She gets that? But you know what? Through it all, I got that credit card from the Lord. No matter what goes through, whether it's a $200 bill, my wife, last night, she was saying, telling one of those nurses, she said, I don't know how much this is going to cost. And she said, I know my husband's over there worried about it. I said, I'm not worried about it a bit. I'm not. I told that lady, I said, God take care of it. I'm not worried about this deal here, man. We did what we had to do, and God's in God's hands at this point. I'm not worried even that much. So what do you do? I'll just reach down there, Daniel 2:29, say, here you go. Take this. And they'll say, will you come down to the Gray Hotel with us, the Gray Barn Hotel for a while? Do you know what? There's some things to worry about, but in it all, but there's a God. There's a God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the great promises of the Word of God.